Hour number four of our radio program. That is right. It is a Zach Gelb Show coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
We have a big issue here, and we're trying to save my producer extraordinaire, Hot Take Hickey. I'm trying to offer him advice out of the kindness of my heart. And he's not willing to listen. There's one thing when he's not willing to listen to me, that's fine. Then caller after caller after caller until Jeff in Pittsburgh, who's not the greatest source in the world, is the only one that thinks Hickey is in the right. We've had Tommy Lugauer join us from the Carden and Roberts show. He said Hickey in the wrong. Carlos with a K, who works behind the scenes here at CBS Sports Radio, he said Ryan's in the wrong. And at 8:46 p.m. Eastern, I go into the newsroom. And when I'm in the newsroom, I see one of our bosses, Chris Oliveira. And I thought Chris was going to be the perfect person to tell me, Zach, we're going to advise Ryan. We're going to lead him down the right road. And then Chris goes, actually, give Spike a call because Spike is married. And not only is Spike married, according to Chris, Spike is really good on the air. So we welcome in our boss, Spike Eskin. Spike, how are you?
Hey, Zach. How are you, man?
Well, we got problems here. And I'm trying to be kind here to Ryan. I'm trying to lead him down the right path in life. But Ryan's girlfriend has been out of town this entire week. Saturday, Ryan has a fantasy football draft. I have no problem with Ryan attending his fantasy football draft out on Long Island in New York. Then Saturday night, Spike, he's not coming back into the city to see his girlfriend that he hasn't seen for a week. And the reason why is he believes this is an important Colts preseason football game. So he's going to watch the Colts preseason football game, and he doesn't think he's going to be in the doghouse. So onsides, offsides, Spike, do you think Ryan is going to be in the doghouse if he watches the Colts preseason game and doesn't see his girlfriend who's been out of town for a week?
Yeah, I think so. Look, that's a decision I may have made when I was Ryan's age as well. But the older you get, you realize that's going to burn you, man. I mean, it's a preseason game.
It doesn't matter. He said this is the most important preseason game of his life, Spike.
Yeah, but still, that's like the shortest midget, right? It's still a preseason game. Even if it's the most important preseason game of your life, Ryan, it's still a preseason football game. I think you got to go back and see your girlfriend, unless, you know, I've read about the Gen Z people quiet quitting. Is this quiet dumping?
There's no quiet. There's no message being sent.
He's ghosting his girlfriend. Never going to see her again.
Yeah, I don't know if you're trying to end the relationship and you just don't have the guts to do it, but I would go home, man. I would DVR do people still say that? Yeah, I would DVR the Colts game.
Well, not even that, Spike. He could get the best of both worlds. I tried to advise him here, and this was my great advice. I said, you go home and you say, babe, we're going to order in the best food, or I'm going to cook up the best meal. And then you have the food in your apartment, and you could put the game on in the background. So you make your girlfriend happy, and then you could still satisfy your needs as well.
Now, Zach, you have a little bit to learn as well. If the goal is to make the girlfriend happy, then going home and watching a preseason NFL game, that's not going to get the job done either, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think you just got to take the L on the game and just not watch the game. And I know you care about your job, and I know you care about the Colts. You're doing that podcast, right? You're doing the Colts podcast.
That's very right. I'm technically on the clock that night with the game, but, you know.
Yeah, I think even maybe you could fake it on the podcast. Just read about what happened and say that. I think you got to turn sports off for the evening, and you got to go spend time with the girlfriend. You obviously don't have to. I can't order you to. But
no, you can. You're his boss.
I
can. Tell him he's going to get fired if he does not hang out with this girlfriend
on Saturday. For doing my job.
Yeah, this seems like I'm wading into HR trouble there, so I'm not going to do that. But I will say, as somebody who has, you know, I've been married for, 8 years? We've been together 13 years. I would never, not at this point, I've learned that the move in this case would never be to watch the football game.
Like,
it's not worth it.
Yeah, Spike, if this was a regular season game, I'd be on the side of Ryan, but it's preseason. Like, you know this is going to come back to bite you in October when you actually want to watch a Colts game and she makes him go apple picking or something like that.
Yeah, it's not a, even if everything ends up okay, it's not something you want her to have in her arsenal to use on you at any point. Do you know what I mean? Like, you might not even hear anything about it the night of. You might not even hear about it the day after. But, you know, 2.5 months from now, when you pull something and this gets brought up, you know, she'll just hold it waiting to spring it on you. Don't watch the game, Ryan.
We're talking to Spike Eskin. Spike, last thing here before we let you run. And yeah, we appreciate you carving out some time as you're very busy with all these other things that you have to deal with here at CBS Sports Radio and WFAN.
Yeah.
A little birdie also told me that you think Ryan is crazy because he needs $500,000 to use a hot dog as a straw to drink it out of a beer. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I respect his commitment to that take. I mean, that is a
hot take?
Lunatic take. I mean, I would chop off one of my pinky fingers for $500,000, much less drink beer through a straw on the internet. Ryan has a code of ethics that he lives by. It's a very strange code of ethics. No one's ever seen this code of ethics, but it exists. And that code of ethics says he's not going to go see his girlfriend, and he's also not going to drink beer through a straw, through a hot dog straw on the internet, unless he gets $500,000. So I don't agree with Ryan's decisions, but I do respect them.
Spike, we appreciate you carving out some time for us. Thank you.
You got it, guys.
There you go. Spike Eskin, our boss. And now Hickey's on the phone with him. Hey, Spike, was that fun? Oh, did he hang up on you right away?
I can't tell. He was so dumb
with the conversation.
Yeah. He was on my side, I think. He sounds like he made a similar move in the past, and he's happily married.
No.
So I think I am in the clear.
You're not listening.
He said he would have done the same thing that I am doing right now. Back in his, you know,
yes,
when he was
but he's
my
telling
age.
You it's not going to work out well.
He's
for
also
you.
Happily married, and they have gotten through it. And if this is, it won't be an issue. I can promise you right now. If it is an issue, we'll push through.
Okay, let's get to the questions.
All right. Speaking of pushing through, the Lakers pushed through with the trade with the Jazz, but
you won't be pushing through your door on Sunday morning if you watch that Colts game.
Well, the game we watch, I'll tell you that right now.
You'll be calling me Sunday morning. Hey Zach, what's the code to get into your apartment? I need a couch.
Need some help here. It's a little chilly outside. The Lakers, they did acquire Patrick Beverley yesterday, which brings the roster dynamics in LA into the spotlight since Pat Bev and Russell Westbrook have had a very contentious rivalry that goes back to 2013.
And even continued up until like February of this year.
Oh, yeah.
This beef did not take a pause.
You remember Patrick Beverley's running by the Lakers bench saying, "You stink," and holding his nose. That was a great game, Timberwolves Lakers, that's for sure.
Do you think Pat Bev in the first meeting goes, "Hey, Westbrook, what's up?"
I don't think so. I hope so. I hope so. But speaking of Westbrook, the Lakers have tried to trade Russ.
Don't be impolite. We don't call him Westbrook. He doesn't like that. I'm sensitive to everyone's feelings. It's Westbrook.
You're very nice, Zach.
Yeah.
They have tried to trade Russell Westbrook this offseason. The Lakers have, speaking of not caring about his feelings, but so far to no avail. Onsides or offsides, both Russell Westbrook and Patrick Beverley will be on the roster together on the Lakers opening night.
Kevin Durant's going to be on the Nets. That means Kyrie Irving's going to be on the Nets. Look like the Lakers, the only way they would be able to move Westbrook was for Kyrie Irving, so that's not going to happen. Yes, both Russell Westbrook and Patrick Beverley will be on the roster for opening night with the Lakers. And can we get some Hard Knocks, even though I'm not a big fan of Hard Knocks anymore, in NBA camp just to see these two guys go at it? It's
going
to be awesome.
That is going to be fun.
It's going to be more contentious than when Hickey tries to enter in on Sunday morning after ditching his girlfriend on Saturday night. Because he needs to watch Colts preseason football, moron.
Do you need to watch it? Biggest game of my life, preseason-wise. Speaking of big stories, though, there is a huge one in college football. South Carolina, we had Shane Beamer on the show yesterday. They're getting set to kick off their season against Georgia State next Saturday.
Horrible timing for us, by the way.
I know.
I need a coach on today.
I know. That would have been very clutch because the Gamecocks live mascot, a rooster, is still currently right now without a name. It used to be Big Sir Spur, but there's drama surrounding right now the comb on top of the rooster's head. That is right. A piece of the rooster's head is now what is up for debate. And a new name has to be created because the previous owners of Big Sir Spur do not like the way the new owners are allowing the comb on the rooster's head to grow out because they feel like that is not what a fighting Gamecock is supposed to look like. They own the rights to Big Sir Spur and are not giving it up. So the new owners and South Carolina has to look for a brand new nickname for the fighting Gamecock, which is currently nameless. This is, again, the live chicken slash rooster, not the Gamecock's mascot themselves.
Before you ask me the question, when you're messing up Big Sir Purr, the Panthers mascot is Sir Purr, right?
Yes.
All I could envision when you were going through that and rambling was Robbie Anderson. When he called Sir Purr, he thought it was a bear, and then he didn't realize it was a panther. Imagine if Robbie Anderson didn't go to Temple, and let's just say he transferred to South Carolina and saw that team. Hey, what's the name of that new cock that we have?
Oh, wait. Why is there a rooster on the side?
Wait, this is Big Sir Spur? Well, what's
Big
the new
Sir
cock,
Spur.
The old cock, the game cock? Jeez, I could just see Robbie Anderson just having no clue what's going on. I have no clue what's going on here. You tried to explain this to me earlier, and I was so lost.
The good news is there is a new name, and at least a newspaper of the state has had a few options for fans to vote on. Some of the names include Cluck Norris, Coop, Marco Pollo, Captain Cluck,
Marco Pollo,
Cock-a-Doodle-Dude, Kickin' Chicken, and Cock Commander, which, as you could imagine, has run away with the fan vote by far. Onsides or offsides, South Carolina should rename their live mascot on the sideline, Cock Commander.
So my options are Cluck Norris, Coop, Marco Pollo, Captain Cluck, Cock-a-Doodle-Dude, Kickin' Chicken, that doesn't sound right, and Cock Commander. Ooh. Now, everyone's probably advocating for Cock Commander.
It was trending on Twitter today. So, as you can imagine.
So, Cock Commander was taking command of Twitter today.
Yes, it was.
I think the most creative one is Cock-a-Doodle-Dude.
Mouthful, though.
Yeah. Imagine if you're drunk, too, at one of those games. South Carolina should rename their mascot Cock Commander. Offsides.
Offside.
Cock-a-Doodle-Dude. I like that one.
All right, maybe we got time for one more here before we can squeeze Carl Dukes in. It's been an adventurous offseason.
Just go through the questions. Right. I know how to manage the clock here.
Cowboys
I'm not like all the other
a
previous Giants coaches. I know how to manage the clock here.
Rocky offseason. As they look to repeat as NFC East divisions for the first time since 1996, they have lost Amari Cooper, Lyle Collins, Randy Gregory, and now, unfortunately, most recently, Tyron Smith, who does appear to at least miss till September, December, could miss the entire year. Jerry Jones, also today on ESPN, mentioned that the offense is going to run through Ezekiel Elliott, not Dak Prescott. Onsides or offsides? The Cowboys will miss the playoffs in 2022.
The NFC stinks. Onsides, the Cowboys will... you said the Cowboys will miss the playoffs. I'm going offsides here.
Offside.
The Cowboys are going to make the playoffs this year. They won't win the division. I think the Eagles will win the division, but they'll still have 10 wins, and that'll be good enough to get them into a crappy NFC playoff field.
Albert Pujols is on the brink of history at 700 home runs. He is 7 away at 693 with 38 games to go. The Machine was asked recently by MLB.com if he would play in 2023, to which he said, quote, "Where I'll be in 2023 is here. Watching some of these guys play from the stands, I really don't think about coming back. This is it for me. I'm going to take a little break," end quote. Onsides or offsides, Zach? If Pujols doesn't get to 700 home runs a season, he should return to chase the record in 2023.
Does it really matter? I know we all look at that and go, oh, it's so cool to get to 700. If he gets to 698, are we going to look at Albert Pujols any differently? No. He's a first-ballot Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest hitters I've ever seen. I don't think he needs the return. Yes, personally, it would annoy me a little bit because I would like to get to 700 if I was two away, and I'm sure they wouldn't even make you go to a full spring training. They would let you kind of work on the schedule that you would want. But if you get in a slump the first month of the season, then it's all about you. It gets a little bit awkward. You got a lot of pressure.
I don't think he should return to chase the record in 2023 if he falls short, so I'm going offsides. Final one, let's go.
Offsides.
Finally, Nick Saban earlier this week signed a mega 8-year, $93.6 million contract that will keep him on the sidelines through the 2029 season. He will remain the highest-paid college football coach, averaging $11.7 million per season. Now, Saban will turn 71 on Halloween. He's been in Alabama for 16 years. Out of those 16 years, he's won 6 national titles. Onsides or offsides, Nick Saban will win at least 3 more national championships before he retires.
I don't think he's going to be coaching through 2029, even though he just signed that deal. 3 more titles. And you know how much respect I have for Alabama, and I pick them each and every year, and I'm picking them to win this year.
All right, so 1 down, 2 to go.
3. Whew. I'll say 2 more. I'll go 2 more here, so I'll go offsides.
Offside.
We'll put him up with Carl Dukes of CBS Sports Radio in the game in Atlanta next. First and goal. We got 4 teams to go. Atlanta Falcons will knock us down to 3.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders? We have 4 downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on the Zach Gelb Show.
So this is how we preview all 32 teams. We have 4 teams remaining. When we have to preview the Atlanta Falcons, it's kind of a tough task to do. This team's going to be miserable this year. So that's why we go to the most entertaining voice in Atlanta sports talk currently. He is the afternoon drive host at 92.9 The Game. He does a great job in the weekends at CBS Sports Radio. It's time to put him up with Carl Dukes.
Put him up! What's going on, Zach? 2 things. 2 questions. 1, why we got to be the last 4? Come on, bro. Come on. 2, what is up with Hickey's girl, man? What's her number? Let me holler at her. What's going on?
Hey, Hickey has some problems here. So he's been in a relationship for 4.5 years. She's been out of town this entire week, Carl. She's coming home Saturday. He has his fantasy football draft with his boys. So he's doing the fantasy football draft. At night, he's not even going back to his apartment to hang with his girlfriend. They live together. He's staying on Long Island with his parents because he needs to watch Colts preseason football.
You know what? Hickey, I hope you're listening to me. This is what's going to happen. You're going to go watch the preseason game that nobody cares about, okay? And your girl's going to go out with her girls for a drink because my boyfriend's not home tonight. He's out doing fantasy football and watching a game nobody cares about. And she's going to run into some guy at the bar and he's going to say, "What is a beautiful woman like you doing downtown by yourself?" Hickey, don't do it. This is a dangerous proposition you're getting yourself into.
Carl, Matt Ryan, I got to see how Matty Ice fits in.
Stop.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Carl, you know what his girlfriend's going to say to him?
What?
Put him outside!
Let me tell you, Matt Ryan's going to be fine. The Colts will be fine. You'll be fine, your girl won't be fine, and then you won't be fine. That's how this is going to play out.
I mean, let's get into the Falcons, the always entertaining Carl Dukes here with us. Marcus Mariota, is he going to make it through the entire season, Carl?
It's a great question, Zach. I mean, hell, we're all wondering that ourselves. I mean, listen, he's looked good in the preseason. He has a propensity to be hurt, and I'm not wishing that upon him. It's just kind of what it is. He's looked good. If he can stay healthy, he might just be a catalyst to maybe ignite this team to more than 4 wins, which is what Vegas has us winning right now. Listen, they don't call it rebuild. They call it transition. We call it rebuild, right? This is what we are. We're in cap hell. We're going through a quarterback transition right now. We're still not sure who the long-term guy is going to be. And then in the process, you're trying to build around some young talent, the Drake Londons of the world, the Kyle Pitts. So right now, Marcus Mariota is going to be the starter. We've been debating this for the last few days. And my whole thing, Zach, is Desmond Ridder has not been simply outplayed. This isn't a case where Mariota has done so much at camp where you go, man, there's no way Desmond Ridder could start. To me, they're on equal footing, and he could either go either way. But I think Arthur Smith wants to go with experience, and at some point, if things take a turn, we'll get a chance to see Desmond Ridder.
I know it'll be a quick evaluation. They're going to eventually have to play Desmond Ridder because this team's going to be bad. They're going to be picking inside the top five, and there's a lot of good quarterbacks in this draft class.
Well, listen, I've been saying our slogan is hashtag sacrifice for Bryce. All right?
I like that.
Bryce Young at Alabama. Here's the deal.
What about suck for Stroud? You don't like C.J. Stroud?
I love C.J. Stroud. And I think C.J. Stroud may end up winning the Heisman this year with that receiving core they have at Ohio State. The Ohio State. But Zach, the problem is if you don't play Ridder, you don't know what you have. And then if we are in that situation where you're talking about top five, you're just going to pick a quarterback on a whim when you didn't know exactly what Ridder was, when you could have saved a lot more money and maybe been Seattle, between 2010 and 2015, where you were able to build a team around a quarterback who wasn't making a lot of money. I don't think you can get yourself in that situation. They're going to have to find out what Ridder is sooner than later.
Let's get to the next down. Carl Duke's here with us. What's the latest on the health of Drake London? I know he got hurt in that first preseason game.
He's fine. Listen, you don't take a chance with a guy that you picked in the first round, especially when he's been crushing it at practice. He's going up against an all-pro cornerback in A.J. Terrell day in and day out. You see what he's got. I've seen what he's got. When we were at camp every day for the first 2 weeks, it's no secret that Drake London can get open. He makes the tough catches. He gets 50-50 balls. I'm not worried about Drake London. This is just precautionary, and you'll see him against the Saints on September 11th.
How great is Kyle Pitts going to be in year number two? Because I'm so excited to see him play.
Well, I'm glad you asked, Zach. This kid is going to be incredible. I have super high expectations only because I've seen the skill level. I don't even know if most people around the country realize how big, how fast, how talented this young man is. And I said this, listen, for me, I've got him obviously over 1,000 yards, which he accomplished last year. I got him back as a Pro Bowler. That's something he did last year. But I think he takes the next step, and I think we're talking potentially double-digit touchdowns, and he is going to be a difference maker, not only for the Falcons, but in this league. He's coming, guys. He's coming.
Let's get to the next down. I know it didn't work out in terms of getting Deshaun Watson, which you may say that's actually a blessing with all that's gone on with Deshaun Watson. If they could go back, do you think they regret exploring Deshaun Watson because that ultimately meant the end of Matt Ryan?
No, listen, I think the owner, this was an Arthur Blank move. And when I say that, I want to clarify. You know, you're sitting around, you're looking at your situation, and you're saying, how do we galvanize the fan base? How do we get people interested? Our team is getting old. You know, you got a wide receiver in Julio Jones who wanted out. All these things are playing out. And I just think that as they explored this, and thank God that, you know, it didn't play out this way for the Falcons because Atlanta's been through this before. Now, I wasn't here at the time, but there was a guy named Mike Vick that went through something, you know, completely different but similar in the eyes of public opinion, which means everybody's watching, everybody's galvanized by what you're doing, and it's for all the wrong reasons. So it's good that it didn't play out that way, but I also think that Matt Ryan – was going to get let go. They were going to try and trade Matt Ryan last year, and it didn't happen, okay? So you get to this offseason, and you go, we got to move him. I think that was just a part of it. I also think, though, Zach, that they played their hand, and they probably could have gotten more for Matt Ryan than they did. I love Matt. I've defended him on your show. You know this. He's a future Hall of Famer. Hickey, stop worrying about these preseason games. Matt Ryan's going to be fine.
Calvin Ridley, how many phone calls did you get when the Watson punishment was final and it was 11 games? I get why the league, and I thought it should have been more than 11 games, I get why the league needs to suspend Calvin Ridley for a year, but probably a lot of Falcons fans, because it just doesn't make sense when you look at it not football related, what Calvin Ridley did compared to what Deshaun Watson was accused of, and then Calvin Ridley got more games.
I get it. I mean, listen, we've talked a lot about this, Zach, because fans don't see how one punishment fits the other, how these two things are in their minds very similar. The only difference I can tell you is gambling, when you talk about gambling on the game and specifically gambling on your team, which Calvin did, you are jeopardizing the integrity of the game. And that is a completely different deal than Deshaun Watson making stupid and idiotic decisions on how he wanted to get a massage with a wash towel, okay? That's different. And if you can't see the two differences, the two things on the table, one guy gambled on his team, and it completely affects the integrity of the game. When I watch these games on Sunday or I go to these games on Sunday, I don't ever want to know that there's a player who could have jeopardized the outcome of that game because he's got money on it. It's against the rules. Everybody in the NFL knows it. I can go to a game and cheer and follow an idiot who's made stupid decisions in his life because we've seen that happen time and time again, and that's what's going to happen in Cleveland with Deshaun Watson. Two totally different things. Both needed to be punished, but they were punished differently.
Let's get to the final down. Talking to Carl Dukes. What is Arthur Smith as a head football coach?
He's a damn good coach. He's honest. I think he's a very upfront and loyal to guys who understand that he's not going to pull any punches. If you're playing bad, he's the coach that's going to tell you. And as a matter of fact, you know, I said this today. We were talking about Coach Art. I don't know if it's to a fault where he is honest in a lot of things that he says and the way that things come across. But I also think that this is what this team needed. This franchise needed that. They needed someone who's not pulling punches, who's brutally honest, and who's not afraid to say exactly what's on their mind. We went from a coach, and I love DQ, who was positive all the time, even though things were falling down around him and collapsing. It's not always good, and it's okay sometimes to say, it's not good. And I think that's the difference between Art and DQ, Dan Quinn. But I also think Arthur Smith knows what he wants to do offensively, and he has some tricks up his sleeve. He's one of these young, bright minds in the NFL. You've seen Sean McVay. We can talk about all these guys now. You know, the Shanahan tree. I also think that Arthur Smith, when he gets the personnel, he's going to be another guy that people are talking about around the NFL.
Dean Pease, we had a lot of fun at his expense last year when he was yelling at reporters for not congratulating Arthur Smith after his first victory. Are you a fan of Coach Dean Pease?
It's funny. I went from being someone who was critical of Coach Pease because, you know, he tried to defend the defense last year that was horrible, and he was taking it for his guys. And my whole thing is, Dean, I know your resume, but you've done nothing here. You haven't won anything here. So get better on defense before we start trying to defend guys. With that said, I absolutely love the way he approaches things, and I love the way that he galvanizes guys that want to play for him. He knows what he's doing. He's been around the league a long time. I have actually become, he's one of the guys that I've actually become, you know, to cheer for now as we turn the corner from last year, because he wanted us to believe that they were more than what they were when we knew they weren't. But that's his job, right? I mean, my job is to say, you're not that. It's his job to say, we are this. I hope they take a step forward this year under Dean Pease, and I think they will. He said, Zach, they only had 60% of the playbook in last year. He's put 100% in, even without the talent that a lot of people don't think this team has defensively. I'm curious to see what that looks like. Blitzes, coming after quarterbacks, a lot of man coverage, to see what this 3-4 can look like.
We all know the Bucs are going to win this division. Who finishes in second place?
I hate to say it. You know I hate to say it. I can't even bring myself to say it. The Saints! Oh, it's so hard. The Saints will come in second. Baker Mayfield and the Carolina Panthers, depending on if McCaffrey stays healthy, they'll be potentially third, and then we'll be there at four. Now, if Marcus Mariota plays above his head, I wouldn't be surprised if the Falcons are in that third spot and maybe even pressing to see what happens with the Saints, because that's a rivalry game, and that's why I can't bring myself to even say it. I can't believe I even said it. Saints.
You're going to have to go into the witness protection program like Hickey.
Well, you know what? Wait, hold on. My phone's ringing. It's Hickey's girl. Hold on.
Carl, Hickey, take her out, bro. Saturday. You'll thank me later.
All right, man.
Thanks so much. There's Carl Dukes, who does a great job on the game and also CBS Sports Radio. And now I could see Carl talking to Hickey, and I could only imagine what is being said. Did he ask for the digits? Did he try to steal your girl?
He's not saying he's supporting. Carl knows deep down. He needs me to do this for him going forward. Just like every other male listening needs me to go through this for them. I'm doing everyone in America a favor.
Damn.
Monday, you'll thank me.
It's the blind leading the blind right now. That's what you are.
I know what
How
I'm doing
Carl
here.
How did Carl know about that? I guess he was listening.
Carl's listening.
Listening.
He enjoys the show.
He's plugged in. I love me some Carl Dukes. That's one of the best hires we made on the weekends recently. And I used to be one of those guys that are like, oh, that guy was a great hire for the weekends. But Carl's phenomenal. And it's no surprise. He does a great job afternoon drive on 92.9 The Game. But he's one of my favorite listens on the weekend. And I always love someone that brings energy in the morning. And I was listening to Carl. I forget. It was like 2-3 weeks ago. And I love how he does the put him up things. Put him up! At like 6:22 in the morning. All righty, we'll come on back with the closing bell. We'll tell you whose stock is booming and whose stock is dooming. Hickey's stock is dooming. His relationship dooming. But we get the latest CBS Sports Radio update in right now with a man whose stock is booming.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
So I'm reading this story. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Buffalo Bills punter Matt Araiza and two San Diego State football players are accused of gang raping a minor in a lawsuit. And she was 17 years old. And the Buffalo Bills, they knew something happened a month ago. Not when he was drafted. The lawsuit was filed today. There's still an ongoing investigation. So we'll see if anything happens criminally. Araiza's attorney, they have denied this. But, Ryan, I know this guy, what do they call him, the punt god?
Yes, sir.
So he's well thought of as a punter. Over a punter, though, if they knew something was brewing or something happened a month ago, I wonder to what level they knew and what their knowledge was of the situation. And he hasn't been accused of anything. I mean, he hasn't been convicted of anything, but he's been accused of something pretty significant and pretty disgusting, if true. And you choose to keep a punter. I remember when Jimmy Haslam, 2 weeks ago when all this Watson stuff went down, he goes, hey, let's remember, he's a young quarterback who's really good. And people called in and they said, oh, if this was an offensive lineman, if this was a kicker, he wouldn't have a job. And I go, you're not wrong. But this is the accusation that Matt Araiza and two San Diego State football players accused of gang raping a minor in a lawsuit. And I don't know to what level of knowledge the Bills have, but I read a report that they knew of something a month ago. And this supposedly happened, allegedly, in the early hours of October 17th, 2021. The suit states that Araiza then brought her inside a room where at least three other men were, including two people, and she was reportedly raped for about an hour and a half until the party was shut down. Oh, my goodness gracious. And the two other people were San Diego State football players. I'm kind of surprised. And, you know, in terms that the Bills kept him on the roster. Like, if they knew something was ongoing here a month ago, aren't you a little bit surprised that the Bills elected to keep him?
I hate to say it.
Was this one of those sweeping under the rug until it comes out?
I hate to say it, yeah, I think so.
And that happens a lot in the NFL.
And you mentioned before what Jimmy Haslam says, talent wins out. I know it's a punter. Teams see talent only. They think they can get through everything else. Seemingly, reportedly so far, that is what the Bills thought.
And Tim Graham, who covers the Bills, says, sources tell me the Bills were made aware of the accusations against Araiza last month. They did not know when they drafted him, but did know when they cut Matt Hackam. Oh, so they knew when they cut the punter on Monday. Wow. How about that? Yeah, this is one of those things where it does, unless if they think he really did nothing wrong, but you're going to put that trust and that faith in a punter. That to me it's a bad look for the Bills, who are a good organization. Bills last 5 years have been vastly improved, have earned a lot of respect. But also remember the Bills, The Bills are a team that are expected to go to Super Bowl this year. You really want this hanging over your heads and now becoming an issue over a punter? And Ari Mirov also says the Bills were made aware of the accusation against punter Matt Araiza last month. They were informed a possible civil lawsuit could be on the way, and the lawsuit was filed today, and the allegations are clearly very disturbing. He's going to get cut, right? But a week ago, they didn't cut him.
Again, it's either, you know, they don't think it's going to come out, or they think they can weather the storm.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we get to Aaron Donald, so Aaron Donald, there were joint practices today between the Rams and the Bengals. Aaron Donald, the practice quickly ended because he ripped the helmet off of another player, and he swung that helmet at a player in a large scrum. And when you watch the video, you can't physically see who he hits. And the player that he hit, has that name emerged yet?
Not that I've seen.
Which is crazy. This is 4 hours old now.
It was also a scrum, like.
Yeah, there it's tough to see.
Right.
Because at first, I see the helmet swinging. And I know Aaron Donald, people say, it's weird. He's not a large, he's a big dude. He's just not tall. So he doesn't get lost in the shuffle. But you do see a helmet just go up into the air and get swung on someone. When you listen to the audio, you hear the thud of the helmet. And I don't know if it, I think it hit someone else's helmet, hopefully not someone else's head. But right away, you know where this is going to be going. Browns fans are going to say, Myles Garrett got suspended for 6 games. So why isn't Aaron Donald going to get suspended? And if you're a Browns fan, and I think you have bigger issues to deal with right now, I don't think it's a wrong thing to ask. And when I saw this, I said, okay, they're going to have to suspend him. But then I read from Tom Pelissero, and this was shortly after when everyone's debating, oh, is he going to get suspended? What's going to be the suspension? All that. Tom Pelissero took to Twitter and provided some clarity here. And he said, clubs, not the NFL, responsible for overseeing conduct of players at practice, including joint practices. So fair to say the league discipline for Aaron Donald or anyone else in today's brouhaha is unlikely. Good use of the word brouhaha.
Also, incredible way to downplay what happened. Brouhaha.
Yeah, that was, as Adam Schefter would say, assault, 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 assault. And you're not wrong. I do think he should be suspended, but if Pelissero's saying that's not going to be the case because of the way that practice happened and how the NFL doesn't oversee it, I don't know. The fact that that's even, how that's not overseen by the NFL is troubling to me. And that's clearly, Pelissero works for the NFL Network, Hickey. So that's clearly the NFL right away saying, yeah, we're not suspending him because this was out of our jurisdiction.
I think the NFL is right, to be honest. I'm not defending what Aaron Donald did. I think fining him and trying to send a message, a strong fine, I think would do. But it's a joint practice. Tensions are high. I mean, the Panthers and the Patriots last week, they didn't even practice. All they did was fight.
Tensions could be high. It doesn't mean that you act like a jackass and take someone's helmet and hit him over the head with it.
I get it.
Did you defend Myles Garrett?
No, I think it's different.
How?
I think
in the game and in practice,
it's a lot different. Plus, Mason Rudolph did not have a helmet on. Fair or not, it's the truth.
Okay, but why shouldn't he be suspended?
Because I think practice is different.
So let me ask you this. We're on the air. I hit you over the head with the helmet. I should be suspended. But if we're in a pre-show meeting and we're doing practice reps.
Well, it's different.
Reps,
we don't get paid to hit each other.
Let's just say it's like, come on.
I think it's fine. Like, pre-show, I don't think you should be suspended. I'm sorry.
Because,
you know, in a massive brawl,
but your reasoning is practice?
Yeah.
Because it's practice. So it's okay to do something.
Well, players get in trouble if you fight in a game. So are we going to just suspend it and find everyone that fights in practice?
Different. You're punching someone, different. When it's completely different. If I punch you, Hickey.
It's all physical abuse,
yes,
is it not?
I'm not defending punching someone. But if I punch you, you're probably going to walk away fine. If I hit you over the head with the helmet, we said when it happened with Myles Garrett, I remember Mason Rudolph didn't have a helmet on because his own helmet was in Myles Garrett's hand. Myles Garrett was lucky Mason Rudolph didn't go to the hospital that night.
I would agree with that, yeah.
There's to me, he won't get suspended the way this is laid out, and you are right. He's not going to get suspended because it's practice and it wasn't in the spotlight of national television on a Thursday night game and all that. But if the reason is, oh, it was in practice and things like this happened in practice, no. Taking a helmet off and swing it over someone's head in practice is not something that I normally see. Especially now. If you want to tell me training camp in the 1980s, that's a little bit different.
Just say,
I'm not saying you're condoning it, but you know what? Now I'm just going to be mean to you in practice before the show.
Here we go.
It'll be fine. Sorry to Chris and Nolan for not being able to get to you. Only
yeah,
got 15
ironic how the guys
left.
Who want to defend me, up, no time to get to.
What do you mean? Oh, sorry. My glasses were off.
They fogged up at the worst time possible.
Oh, no, I just put my glasses on. Do I not only have 20 seconds left? We had Carl Dukes on. We had our boss Spike Eskin on. And I had to talk about things that happened. And I apologize to Chris and Nolan. If Chris and Nolan want to call on Monday and we'll get a hot take hickey update, that's fine. I'm off tomorrow. Be back Monday. Have a good weekend, everybody. Be safe. Hickey's going to be screwed come Monday. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.